Eric the Red's Saga, Anonymous, read for LibriVox.org by Julian Jameson. Chapter 4. Eric had a wife who was named Thjodhild, and two sons. The one was named Thorstein, and the other Leif. These sons of Eric were both promising men. Thorstein was then at home with his father, and there was at that time no man in Greenland who was thought so highly of as he. Leif had sailed to Norway, and was there with King Olaf Tryggvason. Now, when Leif sailed from Greenland during the summer, he and his men were driven out of their course to the Sudreyar. They were slow in getting a favorable wind from this place, and they stayed there a long time during the summer, reaching Norway about harvest tide. He joined the bodyguard of King Olaf Tryggvason, and the king formed an excellent opinion of him, and it appeared to him that Leif was a well-bred man. Once upon a time the king entered into conversation with Leif, and asked him, "Dost thou purpose sailing to Greenland in summer?" Leif answered, "I should wish so to do, if it is your will." The king replied, "I think it may well be so. Thou shalt go my errand, and preach Christianity in Greenland." Leif said that he was willing to undertake it, but that for himself he considered that message a difficult one to proclaim in Greenland. But the king said that he knew no man who was better fitted for the work than he. "And thou shalt carry," said he, "good luck with thee in it." "That can only be," said Leif, "if I carry yours with me." Leif set sail as soon as he was ready. He was tossed about a long time out at sea, and lighted upon lands of which before he had no expectation. There were fields of wild wheat, and the vine tree in full growth. There were also the trees which were called maples, and they gathered of all this certain tokens, some trunks so large that they were used in house building. Leif came upon men who had been shipwrecked, and took them home with him, and gave them sustenance during the winter. Thus did he show his great munificence and his graciousness when he brought Christianity to the land, and saved the shipwrecked crew. He was called Leif the Lucky. Leif reached land in Eiriksfjordr, and proceeded home to Brattahlid. The people received him gladly. He soon after preached Christianity and Catholic truth throughout the land, making known to the people the message of King Olaf Tryggvason, and declaring how many renowned deeds and what great glory accompanied this faith. Eric took coldly to the proposal to forsake his religion, but his wife, Thjodhild, promptly yielded, and caused a church to be built not very near the houses. The building was called Thjodhild's Church. In that spot she offered her prayers, and so did those men who received Christ, and they were many. After she accepted the faith, Thjodhild would have no intercourse with Eric, and this was a great trial to his temper. After this there was much talk about making ready to go to the land which Leif had discovered. Thorstein, Eric's son, was chief mover in this, a worthy man, wise, and much liked. Eric was also asked to go, and they believed that his luck and foresight would be of the highest use. He was for a long time against it, but did not say nay, when his friends exhorted him to go. They made ready the ship which Thorbjorn had brought there, and there were 20 men who undertook to start in her. They had little property, but chiefly weapons and food. On the morning when Eric left home, he took a little box, which had in it gold and silver. He hid the money, and then went forth on his journey. He had proceeded, however, but a little way, when he fell from his horse, and broke his ribs, and injured his shoulder, and cried out, "Aye!" At this accident he sent word to his wife that she should take away the money that he had hidden, declaring his misfortune to be a penalty paid on account of having hid the money. Afterwards they sailed away out of Eiriksfjordr with gladness, as their plan seemed to promise success. They were driven about for a long time on the open sea, and came not into the track which they desired. They came in sight of Iceland, and also met with birds from the coast of Ireland. Then was their ship tossed to and fro on the sea. They returned about harvest-tide, worn out by toil and much exhausted, and reached Eriksfjörður at the beginning of winter. Then spake Erik, "You were in better spirits in the summer, when you went forth out of the firth, than you are in now, and yet for all that there is much to be thankful for." Thorstein replied, "It is a chieftain's duty now to look after some arrangement for these men, who are without shelter, and to find them food." Erik answered, "That is an ever true saying, 'You know not until you have got your answer.' I will now take thy counsel about this. All those who had no other abodes were to go with the father and the son. Then came they to land, and went forth home." Chapter 5. Now, after this, I have to tell you how Thorstein, Erik's son, began wooing Gudrid, Thorbjorn's daughter. To his proposals a favorable answer was given, both by the maid herself and also by her father. The marriage was also arranged, so that Thorstein went to take possession of his bride, and the bridal feast was held at Brattahlid in the autumn. The banquet went off well, and was numerously attended. Thorstein owned a homestead in the Vestribygd, on the estate known as Lysufjörður, Shining Firth. The man who was called Thorstein owned the other half of the homestead. His wife was called Sigrid. Thorstein went, during the autumn, to Lysufjörður, to his namesake, both he and Gudrid. Their reception was a welcome one. They were there during the winter. When little of the winter was past, the event happened there that fever broke out on their estate. The overseer of the work was named Garth. He was an unpopular man. He took the fever first, and died. Afterwards, and with but little intermission, one took the fever after another, and died. Then Thorstein, Erik's son, fell ill, and also Sigrid, the wife of his namesake, Thorstein. And one evening Sigrid left the house, and rested a while opposite the outer door, and Gudrid accompanied her. And they looked back towards the outer door, and Sigrid screamed out aloud. Gudrid said, "We have come forth unwarily, and thou canst in no wise withstand the cold. Let us even go home as quickly as possible." "It is not safe as matters are," answered Sigrid. "There is all that crowd of dead people before the door. Thorstein, thy husband, also, and myself, I recognize among them, and it is a grief thus to behold." And when this passed away, she said, "Let us now go, Gudrid. I see the crowd no longer." Thorstein, Erik's son, had also disappeared from her sight. He had seemed to have a whip in his hand, and to wish to smite the ghostly troop. Afterwards they went in, and before morning came she was dead, and a coffin was prepared for the body. Now, the same day, the men purposed to go out fishing, and Thorstein led them to the landing-places, and in the early morning he went to see what they had caught. Then Thorstein, Erik's son, sent word to his namesake to come to him, saying that matters at home were hardly quiet, that the housewife was endeavouring to rise to her feet and to get under the clothes beside him, and when he was come in she had risen upon the edge of the bed. Then took he her by the hands, and laid a pole-axe upon her breast. Thorstein, Erik's son, died near nightfall. Thorstein the Franklin bade Gudrid to lie down and sleep, saying that he would watch over the body during the night. So she did, and when a little of the night was past, Thorstein, Erik's son, sat up and spake, saying he wished Gudrid to be called to him, and that he wished to speak with her. "God wills," he said, "that this hour be given to me for my own, and the further completion of my plan." Thorstein, the Franklin, went to find Gudrid, and waked her, begged her to cross herself, and to ask God for help, and told her what Thorstein, Eric's son, had spoken with him. "And he wishes," said he, "to meet with thee. Thou art obliged to consider what plan thou wilt adopt, because I can in this issue advise thee in no wise." She answered, "It may be that this wonderful thing, has regard to certain matters, which are afterwards to be had in memory. And I hope that God's keeping will test upon me, and I will, with God's grace, undertake the risk and go to him, and know what he will say, for I shall not be able to escape if harm must happen to me. I am far from wishing that he should go elsewhere. I suspect, moreover, that the matter will be a pressing one." Then went Gudrid and saw Thorstein. He appeared to her as if shedding tears. He spake in her ear, in a low voice, certain words which she alone might know. But this he said so that all heard, that those men would be blessed who held the true faith, and that all salvation and mercy accompanied it, and that many, nevertheless, held it lightly. "It is," said he, "no good custom which has prevailed here in Greenland since Christianity came, to bury men in unconsecrated ground with few religious rites over them. I wish for myself, and for those other men who have died, to be taken to the church. But for Garth, I wish him to be burned on a funeral pile, as soon as may be, for he is the cause of all those ghosts which have been among us this winter." He spake to Gudrid also about her own state, saying that her destiny would be a great one, and begged her to beware of marrying Greenland men. He begged her also to pay over their property to the church, and some to the poor, and then he sank down for the second time. It had been a custom in Greenland, after Christianity was brought there, to bury men in unconsecrated ground, on the farms where they died. An upright stake was placed over a body, and when the priests came afterwards to the place, then was the stake pulled out, consecrated water poured therein, and a funeral service held, though it might be long after the burial. The bodies were removed to the church in Eriksfjörður, and funeral services held by the priests. After that died Thorbjorn. The whole property then went to Gudrid. Eric received her into his household, and looked well after her stores. End of chapter 5. This recording is in the public domain.